I'm going to continue my teachings on understanding the call of God. Say amen. I don't want to recap too much because the recap sometimes takes time. So understanding the call of God, but I want to always read the foundational scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26, which is the scripture we've based our teachings on. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things, to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen. Do you feel despised? Do you feel base? It means God has chosen you. And the Bible says, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that one day no flesh should glory in his presence. God doesn't want you to stand anywhere and say that it was because you educated yourself, it was because of, it was because you were smart, that is why you are doing his work. But he wants everyone who is in his realm, his kingdom, whether noble, whether weak, whatever your weaknesses are, the Lord can put this treasure in an earthen vessel so that the excellency of power may not be of you, but will be of God. Say hallelujah. And so we spoke about all those who were called: Abraham, Gideon, Jeremiah, Moses, Elijah, Joseph, the disciples, Abigail, Mary, Elizabeth, and on, who were called. These were not special people. They were ordinary people like you and I, but the Lord put his treasure in their vessels, and they did great things for God. Say amen. And then we came to the purpose of the call. The reason and the purpose of your calling is because God wants you to do his will. And we have also gone to say that whether you are a medical doctor or you are a nurse or you are a pharmacist, whatever, whoever you are also called of God. The work you are doing as a politician is also the work of God. Say amen. So you are not only called to come and stand here and preach, that is the calling of God, or to be a deacon or deaconess, even if you are a contractor, even if you are a politician, whatever, whoever you are, you are also called of God to do his will in your sector, to do his will where you find yourself, to do the will of God in government, in commerce, in the marketing place, in every sector. Do God's will. Say amen. And then number three, the suffering in the call. We're not only called to believe in him, according to Philippians 1:29, but we are also called to suffer for him. Say amen. And suffering is not a very pleasant word. Suffering is everything. Nobody wants to suffer. Even who wants to suffer? Everybody wants something that is very happy, whatever. But there is suffering. There are challenges. There are trials. There are temptation. And last week or last 2 weeks, I was sharing with this house some of the sufferings that my wife and I went through when we gave birth to the first baby, second daughter. And then somebody went and, I don't know who, cut it and posted it. Yeah. And I sat yesterday, somebody said, I have crossed over 500,000 views. I was surprised that the simple testimony we are sharing has gone everywhere. My son himself called me and said, Daddy, what are you preaching in Ghana? Everybody is calling me. He said, everybody is calling me. They could not, he's being invited to places to come and share his own testimony. He's been invited. We want you to come and share your testimony here. And when we went to, my wife said, but you told just a quarter of the story. There are so many parts of the story you didn't share. I said, really? Then she herself was telling me how she used to feed a lot with, what did you use to do? Nasal dropper. The stopper. You know, there's that small thing. She would put milk in it because Elom's muscles in the mouth couldn't suck the breast. because he was born preterm, the muscles around the mouth couldn't suck the milk from the breast. So they have to now put the milk in a small nasal dropper and be feeding him. Yeah. And she'll be feeding him and crying at the same time. Yeah. One day I came from preaching. When I came, she was standing in the middle of the hall with the baby crying. The baby was crying. She was also crying. I said, well, what's going on here? He said, since you left to go and preach, Elom hasn't slept 1 minute. He's been crying the whole time, and I'm tired. So I said, okay, bring him. So I collected Elom. I said, you go and sleep. I'll look after him. So I was walking around, look after him. He didn't stop crying. Then I went and put him somewhere, and I also slept. I was tired. I've come like 11 o'clock. Tired. So I placed him on the mat and I also slept. Then my wife came and said, where have you put the baby? But today the name of the Lord is glorified. Say amen. So we were not only called to believe in him, we were also called to suffer for him. And if you are going through challenges, you are going through trials, if you are going through stress, adversity, misery, sorrow, tribulations, know that the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. So the glory of God shall be revealed in your suffering. Look at the scripture. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:17. Say amen. So your suffering, your challenges, your misery, your trial, it's not forever. It's not forever. It will end at a point, and your joy will come in the morning, and the joy will be so powerful that it will wipe away your years of tears. Say amen. It will wipe away your years of tears. So, beloved, count it all joy when you are going through challenges, trials in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And then we talk about integrity, the state of being honest. Wherever you are, let's have honesty in your place of work. Let people testify that you are an honest man. Say amen. Yesterday when we were here and they were reading tribute about Mr. Tamaklo or Cosmos Tamaklo, the tributes were very fantastic. The tributes were so fantastic that you are dead and people are writing very good things about you. May you one day, may people write good things about you because of the kind of life you lived. Hallelujah. A life of integrity, a life of hard work, a life of honesty. Hallelujah. And you know that the kind of economy that we have, it's not very easy for people to fool their car. Now they are promising us that they will pay half of electricity bill. They will create 1 million. I'm hearing things I have never heard before. That were these things quite possible, then why didn't they do them long time ago? Why should it be a campaign message? Why should it be a campaign message? If they can create 1 million digital jobs, they should create it right now. Because we have a lot of unemployment in the system. If the electricity we are paying can become half, then they should make it half right now. They said, I'm hearing promises I haven't heard before. They should do it right now. 2025. Okay, we are here. 2025 will come. We'll see. So there are all kinds of promises that are in the system. And we know that God will make all things possible. Whoever will become president, well, we pray for him or her that the Lord will use him to change the state of our economy because things are very tight. It's not easy to take money and buy fuel and come to church. Sometimes I wonder how people come to church and they come every Sunday and come and give offering and come and support the work of God. I'm very grateful to my members who continually are showing up in church and ministry and supporting God's work. It's not easy to support God's work in this, our tight economy. But God bless you very much. Say amen. And number five is the call and sacrifice. So sacrifice, to give up something for a higher good. May you sacrifice. Last week or two, people were sacrificing their money to buy mattresses for people who are physically challenged. Last week, is it, when did we have the meeting? This Tuesday. Tuesday, we had a meeting with the chairman of the Central Region Disability Community. And they were telling me the expectation. And I can understand that, because if those of us who are able are going through the type of economy we are going through, then I can imagine the disabled who don't work, some don't cook, some can't walk, some can't see. They have a very great, and the expectation is so wild that, Father, I said, Lord, please help us to be able to help these people. And I want to thank God for all my departments, Altar Ministry, Lifeline Ministry, Helps Ministry, and all the who are, those who are partners, every partner. Some are paying 10 cities, some are paying 20, some are paying all kinds. And we are mobilizing all this money in the midst of our own needs. We are sacrificing it for others. Say amen. I said we are sacrificing for all. And we've been doing this for the past 35 years. And there's no year we have missed a crusade. For 35, it's on record that for 35 years, we have gone to crusade every year. Every year, including the time of COVID. We're still doing outreach. In COVID, we're doing outreach. Hallelujah. I received a letter from the country of Benin Republic. And the government and the churches have come together to invite us to come and do a crusade in Benin. In Benin, and to do the day of help in Benin. When I received the letter, it wasn't joyful for me, like I'm so happy. No, because it is cost. We go through Accra, then we go through Togo, and then from Togo to before Benin, our hotel, our this, I mean, carrying goods and services across the border. It's a lot of work. So I wasn't as happy as some of you are. It's work, it's stress. But with God, all things are possible. So we'll go to Benin. Is it Benin? Benin, 2025. That is where the mission is going to be. And I see you coming to Benin. Some of you have never been anywhere. You have even Togo, you have never been to Togo. So go to Togo, come to Benin, and then be blessed. Hallelujah. So sacrifice is an important part, and we are called to sacrifice for him. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So sacrifice your time, sacrifice your money, sacrifice your home, sacrifice your car, sacrifice your talent, sacrifice your resources, your position, and even sacrifice your pleasure for the good of someone. Maybe you are going to have a holiday. You've done holidays over 20 years. Sacrifice a particular holiday and give it to the work of God. Yeah, some of the holidays is waste of money. It's waste of money. You have done holidays, so some holidays, you say no. Instead of spending $6,000, $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 buying tickets, everything, let me sacrifice this. Say, children, go and play at Usu playgrounds and everything, and let's give the money to this mission. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. Say amen. And God will bless you. Hallelujah. Then you can even go to Widiba here, and then there's a nice hotel in Widiba. Go and watch the sea, look at the sea, pray with turtles, and then come back. You have sacrificed. And you have given it to something more higher, more powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Very soon we shall be receiving guests for the mission from over 11 countries, from the US, Nigeria, Togo, UK, Germany, Italy. These are people who are coming for our 35th anniversary missions to Central Region. We have had the biggest, highest international gathering. Some of you have 3-4 cars. Sacrifice your cars to take them around. And until we go to the mission and camp. And all those of you who come from central region, I'm expecting all of you to be in Cape Coast. We are looking for places to stay. Apostle, I can't believe the cost of hotels in central region. Hey! It's too much. Normal accommodation. So our accommodation bill is so high. Where is Eugene? Eugene should come and tell us. The accommodation bill, so high. Very, very high. You ask for this hotel, when they quote the price, then you multiply by the number of visitors you are going to get and all that. But guess what? We will go and come and we shall be debt free in that mission. So some of you who come from central region, take some of the hotel bills and pay for us. Come to Ridge Royal and what? What's the name of the hotel? Pipam Sea and what? All kinds of places and go. Come and ask us, where are you people staying? I want to take half of the bill. Sacrifice your money and pay for the bill. Because we are going to your city. We are going to hold a crusade at the Adesadel Park. Look, if you have the image for the poster, the latest one, please post it and let me show it to my members. Hallelujah. All right, today I want to talk about the call and honor. The call and what? Honor. To honor means to respect. It means to do what? To respect. To give a high regard. It also means to be loyal. It also means to cover. To cover. It also means to esteem. Hallelujah. Yeah. And every sector of your life, whether in ministry or in business or in government or in any sphere, there are always people who are senior in that sector. There are, if it is the kingdom, there are bishops, archbishops, who are senior to you. If it is in business, there are tycoon businessmen who have been in the business space for a long time. Anywhere, in law, in medicine, there are medical gurus who have been in medicine for a long time. And so, as somebody who has been called into that sector, you must have honor. You must show honor. Show respect, be high regard, esteem, be loyal to cover whoever is senior to you. Yes. And when you are called into a certain space and you have mentors and you have fathers or mothers who have been in that space for a very long time, 20, 30 years before you are now coming as a first year student who has passed the bar, that you are a lawyer, there are lawyers who are 30 years. You must have a high regard to that lawyer who has been 30 years old in that field. Who was there before you and has more experience? He may not be digitalized like you. Because the time he was called to the bar, you used to. The lot of things that were not present. So you have come with new technology. It doesn't make you smarter than him. It doesn't make him obsolete. It doesn't make you some way where now Uchiha Fadi, so you don't regard him because he doesn't know what you now know. Because when he was a lawyer, you were in your mother's womb. Because you are now 30 years and he has been 35 years. Before you were, does it make you any whatever special? Maybe you have come now, you are preaching, you have great oratory, you have special analytical mind, you are rattling scriptures, you are preaching. It doesn't make you older than the man who has been in ministry for 40 years. You, the girl who, lady who has just been born, your mother took care of you many, many years ago. Now, you are somewhere, somehow, Francis, disregarding the woman who gave birth to you. When you were sick, she was sick. When you were having a running stomach, she's also having a running stomach. When your father ran away, she was the one who took care of you. When your father ran away with some other ladies and other people and had other children, your mother took care of you. Now, when you grow up, you are now 18, 19, 25, and now you are a doctor, whatever. It doesn't make you better than your mother. It doesn't make you better than, and then you have no right to look down, speak some way, bank phones, talk hair, and when you are talking, you are walking away. No. Look at what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and what he said. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Never forget this scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Never forget this scripture. Look at it. Children. Let me tell you. Even if you are 30 years, you are still a child. Even when you are still a child. I remember my mother came to me to go and visit me, and I was going to see her off. Look at me at my age. My mother, she used to hold our hands, Stanley on the right and then I on the left, to cross roads, and then she would lead her to school before she goes to work. It is in her subconscious that I'm still a child. So we came and I wanted to cross the road, and she was holding my hand. I said, "Ma, I'm supposed to be holding your hand." To her, you haven't grown. You are still the potty potty child that she used to take care of, according to her. Are you getting me? So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look at the next verse. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Look at the next verse. That it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. And thou mayest live long on the earth. That is why some people are dying early. They use the word gone too soon. They will write, "What a shock." That, which means that if you have honor, if you regard, respect people who are your mentors, your coaches, your fathers, it triggers longevity in your life. Say amen. One day, I was in a certain meeting, and a certain young guy, apostle, he rose up and he was making a submission. He said, "Well, reverends and bishops, as for that woman, I will not have her come into my space." So I asked the convener, "Who is this boy referring to as that woman?" So, the mother. I said, "How does he sit in front of us and address her mother as that woman?" I said, "Sit down there." And I told the convener that I would not sit in this meeting and have this small boy disrespect the mother in front of us. May I teach honor, respect? Is something what I'm teaching, this is the first time I'm teaching it. I've been teaching this for a long time. So I will not sit here for this boy. I said, I'm leaving this meeting because this boy who was born 1990-something cannot stand here and address the mother, because we regard the mother as our mother. Her mother is our spiritual mother. You cannot come and say I don't want that woman in my space. They say, I should calm down. So I calm down. I said, he must apologize for what he said. So they asked him to apologize. They apologize. That it may be well with thee. That you may live long on the earth. So, saying, see ye. Watch the way you regard mentors, fathers, spiritual parents. People who have coached you, somebody who has trained you, somebody who has brought you up. The cooking you know, it was your mother who taught you how to cook. Did you learn how to cook yourself? You didn't know how to cook. You don't know how to do abengwa. With all your fingernails, you can't do abengwa. When you do abengwa right now, we'll go running. You don't know anything. Inkatenkwai, we will not eat it at all. It's so bad. Your mother has been cooking in Katenkwai from 1950 something. You were born, you know, whatever. Say amen. Amen. One day somebody cooked and I ate one, two. I couldn't eat the food again. So my wife said, Steve, you need a deep. I said, no. That's one thing I can't do. I cannot eat something I don't enjoy. I can't pretend it. I can't even swallow it. So I said, do you have bread and butter or something? So when we finished, my wife was rebuked. She said, you have disgrace. I said, she can't cook. Period. Let's get up and go. She can't cook. And me, I don't play with my food as well. I take my food seriously. And I don't pretend that I like the food. And I can cook also. Because we were three boys. Yeah, we were three boys. Where's my elder brother? That's my elder brother. Yeah, my elder brother, myself, and my twin brother. We were three that my brother brought into this world. We don't have a sister. So you are my sisters. Yeah. So we were forced, not that we cooked, but we were forced to learn how to cook, because by the time we came from school, my mother was already at work. So as I'm standing here, you know, I can cook, I can market and cook. I used to go to Malata market. When I married my wife, I said, sit down, let me show you skills. And guess what? I cook. I'm 63 years old. I'm still cooking. You can come to the house and I'm cooking. And I cook very well. So when people come and do geje geje in my house trying to cook for me, I'm saying, what is he coming to cook here? So your cooking and the things you know were shown you by your mother and your father. And you must respect, regard, honor them till death. Even after death, you must still honor them. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. So your ability to live long is not your gyming, your medications, your therapies. I have my gym therapies. I have that. You can have all the therapies. If the Lord takes the breath out of you, you have no life. All your jimmy to make your tummy flat, to make your head flat, to make your bum flat, and you make your ears flat. It doesn't do anything. God can just close your nose one night and throw you somewhere with all your gym and everything. Because of disregard, because of dishonor, because you are insulting your mother, because you are using F words, because you are criticizing something you are not qualified to criticize. You are not qualified to criticize. Because you are taller than your mother. Say amen. That man. I used to be very, very angry with my father because of the way he lived our lives. I was very, very angry with him. And Bishop Dad corrected me. My friend Bishop Dad corrected me. Steve, you cannot talk about your father like that. His job was to bring you into the world. You and your brother. Your father's job was to deposit a seed in your mother's womb. That was his work. The rest, he was on holidays. Yeah, it was Bishop Dad who told me that. He said the rest of your father's life is on holidays, enjoying, drinking pito and palm wine. But his job was to deposit a seed in your mother's womb and say, and the two of you came out. Look at what the two of you have done since you became born again. Two of you, look at what you have done. So for deposit the seed, we have to honor him. Am I in church? I've gone somewhere. Yeah. So a coach, somebody who trained you, Somebody who mentored you. Somebody who fathered you. Somebody who was in your space of profession before you came. Anytime you go before him, anytime you are talking about him, anytime you are making comment, be very careful the comment you are making. And fathers are full of mistakes. I'm telling you, fathers are full of mistakes. Mothers are full of mistakes. So forgive them for their errors. He didn't say call them and rebuke them. Call your father. He said, Daddy, come here. Sit down. Let me talk sense. Let me talk sense into you. You don't tell your father, let me talk sense into you. May the Lord forgive you your sins for talking sense. You don't talk to your mother on the phone and say, ma, media, my background, ma, pa. They would do phone. No? Now, if you're a friend, just say, the phone is off. I'm blocking them. Like, you can see that your mother will smote her breast. Say, hey, me banu no make asa sano. Me banu no make asa sano. It really for anybody channel. Because she knows what can happen to you for talking to her that way. For behaving that way. So, whichever way you are called, you must honor the people who were in your calling before you entered there. In ministry, I have fathers, I have mentors, I have people who are coaches who are ahead of me. Some of them, the age difference between me and them is about 3 years. Yes. And I still regard him as my father. Because the person who ordained me into ministry was Reverend Eastwood Anaba. Recently, my wife and I were in a love revolution. We went to his bedroom upstairs. We knelt down, my wife and I, we knelt down, held our hands as we honored him with an offering. So this is on behalf of the family of CEM to say thank you for coming to Holy Ghost Ashi campaign and for raising money. We've taken a portion of that money to honor you, to thank you. And we knelt down on your behalf to receive a blessing on your behalf. Yeah. Then when I finished, I gave him a letter for 2025. You know what he told me? He said, Steve, consider that program done for 2025. Your honor will trigger more blessings, will trigger more open doors. And my wife and I were there for 3 days. We were following him everywhere. He was now about to he's about to finish his 8-story building. And he called a few partners. And then he started raising funds. Oh, immediately, we took the envelope ready to honor him. And he was so glad. He put his arms around me, around us, because he's been our mentor and a father for many years. Even though the difference in age is about 3 years. I'm 63, he's 65. That's 2 years. You say that, well, the small boys have grown. Small boys don't grow as far as a father is concerned. A son is a son forever. A daughter is a daughter forever. As long as your mother is alive, whether you have 13 children, you are still a daughter to your mother. The day you look down upon your mother, you have cut your life short by 20 years. 20 years. If you are supposed to live for 80 years, it's not going to be 60 years. If you disregard your father, you have reduced your age by 10 years. So 30 years has gone off your life. To the right, gone too soon. Say amen. Am I talking to someone? And to regard, to respect, is not only to say, yes, ma, yes, da. No. Provide. Support. Look at her needs, their needs, and provide for your parents. Some of you can afford to buy a car, but you won't do it. Some of you can afford to change their furniture in your room, but you won't do it. You have very beautiful chandeliers in your house, furniture, fridge, deep freezer. Everything. Your mother is still using cooler.
Change the room. Change the carpet. Change the curtain. Change the bed. The bed she's lying on is 30 years old. Change the bed. Change the mattress. Buy a new mattress for your mom, for your dad. Change the curtain. Paint the house. When you went to the house, were you not ashamed of yourself? To see that your mother's house is old, the place is the place has become dilapidated, the whole place is running down, the bathroom is bad, the bucket is bad, the coal pot is terrible, the silver that she's using to cook for you, cooking a banquet for you, the silver is over 20 years old. Change it. That is what it called honor. Honor doesn't mean just stand and respect. Honor means change their environment. Me, my parents are dead. My father is dead. My mother is dead. So I can speak freely. And guess what? By the grace of God, I was doing it before my mother died. I bought my mother a car. And I bought my father-in-law, I bought him a car. And my mother doesn't drive. So I got him a driver. I got her a driver. And I say, Ma, first, when I bought the car, I brought the car here. So we close. My mother used to sit here. So I held her hand. She sits here. This is her seat. So I held her hand to the car. I say, Ma, I said, this car is yours. This car is mine. Where am I taking it to? She was shocked. I said, this is your driver. This driver will take you anywhere. I don't want to hear you are taking taxi. Don't take anything. But he said, my son, where am I going? I said, hey, even when you are just coming to church and going, you want to go to market and all those things. So she sat in the car for the first time. They drove her to the house. Then the driver was staying with me. Every morning I said, go pick her. I said, go there. If she has no place to go, she wanted to say, oh, I don't have anywhere. I said, let the driver sit there. You are not the one paying. Let the driver sit there. See, man. My father, he was with his sisters and everything. They literally threw him away. When my wife, I thank God for my wife, she went and brought, because I didn't want to see him at all because of the way he treated me. Though. But my wife said, when you stand praying, forgive if somebody has wronged you. I said, that one is Bible. This one is real. I said, this one is real. Bible one is different. So no. So we brought him, took care of him and everything. He stayed with us for 7 years or so. Until 6 years. Changed his everything, got him whatever. Lived a different life until he passed on. Say amen. So I'm going to live long because I fulfill scripture. And it is well with me because I fulfill scripture. So live long because you took care of your mother. And after this service, this week, go to the village, carry money, and see what you can change in his house, in her house. Paint the place, change the roof. Change the curtains. Remove the old achacha. Remove the old bed and bring a new bed. You can afford it. You can afford it. All these useless restaurants you are going with your friends and you are eating and whatever. No. Sacrifice it to make your mother's room comfortable and your father's room comfortable. And if you don't have a father and a mother, there are still mothers and fathers who are still alive, who nobody's taking care of them. So adopt a father, adopt a mother. Look around and see an old lady. Say, Mama, I want to adopt you. From today, all your bills are on me. That's the way to honor a person. From today, all your bills are on me. He said, well, I have children, doesn't matter. Me, I'm looking after aunties of mine. We said, one of my aunties said, your mother is gone. I'm the next mother you have. Say, your mother is gone. I'm the next mother. This one says, I'm your mother. This one says, everybody, the space has been taken. The space has been taken. Let's continue to do it. That our that we may live long, that it may be well with us. Say amen. And then look at Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. The book of Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. It says, a son is also neuter gender, and a daughter honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? Where is my respect, regard, cover? You see, a son covereth his father. Don't expose the weaknesses of your father. Whether the person is a man of God, a woman of God, or men of God have frailties, men of God have weaknesses. Sometimes you see a man of God very vociferous, very powerful. He has a weakness. And when you discover the weakness of your father, don't expose it. When you see your father going and he's naked, his bottom is naked, look for a cloth and cover his bottom for him. That's honor. You cover. You make room. Don't expose. Don't sit at a fufu party and talk about your pastor. You see, people, when I'm preaching, I realize that when I'm preaching, not only do people listen to me here, people also listen to me online and other places. So I'm speaking to everybody. If you have a pastor, don't expose your pastor. Don't go to your house and visitors will come to your house and you are discussing the pastor and the pastor's wife. No. No. Have you seen the way they dress? Have you seen the way they are? Have you seen their children? No. Don't discuss them. Pray for them. Honor them. Pray for them. Honor them. Pray for them. Pray for your pastor and honor your pastor. Say amen. A son honoreth his father. And to honor means to cover, to be loyal, stand. You don't come to church and after what sometimes then you leave and go to another church. That's dishonor. That's disloyal. That's disloyal. What have we done to you? What have we done to you? We are all swimming in this pool. Then you decide to leave the pool and then you urinate in the pool. You relate in the pool that we are all swimming, you know, that we are happy. You know, you want to leave the pool and take a big towel and clean yourself. And when we were going there, you came and stood there. Then you relate that into the pool before you left. God bless you. What I mean is that don't leave the church and say bad things about the church. That is urinating into the pool. You are here. We mentored you. We nurtured you. We bless you. Bless your marriage. Dedicated your children. Lay hands on you. Now you have found a better church. That is more fashionable, more digital. Wait till we are here. We built this church. How many years since we built this place? Over 20-something years since we built this temple. It was the best, most beautiful temple in Accra when we built this place. But now more beautiful temples have come. But we are also happy here. Now you want to go to the new digital church, you know. You are urinating in the pool, and pollute the pool before you leave. God bless you where you are going. God bless you where you are going. To justify, one of my members said, she brought me a card. Okay, to listen, she brought me a card of the mother's funeral. I said, we'll be there, we'll be there, we'll be there. That's as I said, we'll be there, we'll be there. And okay, I didn't go. That is why God has blessed me with pastors, resident pastors. So they went on my behalf. And where is Reverend Steve? He said, he's busy. So my mother's funeral is not important to him. I see. Other things are more important to him. I'm leaving the church. And guess what? She left the church. You see? That's it. It's nonsensical. Because if I want to make it a point to be going to all funerals, to attend all weddings, outdoorings, then when will I have time to pray and prepare my sermon? So that is why God has given me men. That's why I don't come to your outdoorings and all the things. I'm not there. I send them to the Tamaklo house every time. I never step in the house. They were there every time. I said, go, find out what we can do for them. Find out, go, greet them. I never stepped there. I went and preached at my Tesano. First, I was here having long meetings. And afterwards, I went to Tesano branch, came back. Because Pastor Stanley has traveled, I have to come and do the all night. Midnight, when I came, this whole place was full of people. Later, I got at 6 o'clock, drove home, slept for some 2 hours, and came to the Tamaklo funeral. Because this man has always been here for me. and I wanted to be here. And I came for the funeral. I told Kate to do the preaching. And he did a very powerful preaching yesterday. And I was sitting here. Yeah, I didn't do anything. But at least they call something the power of presence. Your presence, that even though you don't say anything, speaks volumes. And when we finished, we hosted the chiefs and things in our new lounge. We had food, we ate. They were happy, we were there. I was here till... what, six? Everybody had left. I was supervising the cleaning and the finished painting of the washroom so that I can open it today. And I said I was not going anywhere. I was in my clerical from morning after the all night here until 6 p.m. when I knew that I can open the washroom today. Before I left, went home. When I went home, within 1 hour, I was snoring. Me, myself, I could hear my own snore. I could hear myself snoring. And my collar, my shirt, my trousers, asked my wife, that was what I used. I was lying down. Then my wife said, won't you go and change? Then I went and changed. Then I woke up at 2:25. Then I went to my study, started praying for this morning service. That's why my eyes are wild like that. Honor. A son honoreth his father. If I be a master, where is my fear? And a servant honoreth his master. Say amen. Pastor Matthew Ashimolu, I consider him as a father, a mentor figure. He's going to have a crusade in Ibadan. He called me and said, Reverend Steve, when are you coming to do? Normally we do the designs. We do all the setup because he's patterning his crusade after us. So he's copied what we do. So he did the first one at the crusade. It was, now he's going to Ibadan. This Wednesday, after preaching today, I'll rest tomorrow. Tuesday, I'm preaching one of my branches. Wednesday, I'm on my way to Ibadan. I'll be there with my team to design the whole place for him, because it must look like Christ in the rural world and everything. I'll be back on Friday. So I told Apostle, stand by, because when I'm coming from Ibadan, I don't know how my eyes will be. If I can't do that, you are doing the midnight cry, so I can come and sleep and be ready for Sunday. Then Sunday, the Bible Society people, they send me reminder. I say, we are waiting for you. Reverend Steve, we are coming. I say, yo, come. That's why I made announcement today. Don't disgrace me. Come to be an honor to God and an honor to me as a father. Say amen. A son honoreth his father. Should I continue preaching? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, 4 to 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 24, 4 and 7. 1 Samuel. Are you there? 1 Samuel 24. Where's the 4? And the man of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemies into thy hand. Now, let me begin from the beginning. So let me begin from verse 1 so you understand the story very well. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, that saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David. Are you there? And his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in that side of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemies into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily,
And it came to pass afterward that David had smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto the man, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up after the cave and went on his way. That means that, you know, Saul was looking for David. He's throwing javelins, trying to kill him everywhere. Then they heard that he was at Engedi. Then he brought 3,000 men from just one person. Which means that he was his arch enemy. Then they went and found Saul lying down, asleep. So he wanted to prove to you that if I want to kill, I will kill you. So he took a knife and a sword and cut off the skirt. And when he cut off the skirt, his heart smote him. In other words, you are touching something you shouldn't touch. His heart smote him. Then he said, God forbid it me that I should stretch my hand against the Lord's anointed. A daughter doesn't kill a mother. A son doesn't kill a father. Say amen. It's a good one. Say it again. A mentee doesn't kill a mentor. You don't suffocate a father. You don't undermine a father. You don't become an Absalom. An Absalom in your father's house. You don't sit at the gate of the city and begin to allude and to make yourself important and to make your father look bad before the people. You are stealing the heart of the people. Stealing the heart of the customers. One of my daughters was working with a certain institution and her desk was handling that part of the business. And her desk made a lot of money for the institution. Lot. And then she said to herself, well, all these things could have been mine. So she left. While she was there, she registered her own company, did so many things, and then she left the institution now to start her own. There's nothing wrong with starting something on your own. I'm not against it. But there is a way you live. There's a process. There is a protocol you follow. She didn't follow that protocol. She resigned from the work and then set up their own desk. And now she was diverting the customers for that institution to herself. And guess what? See, God is not a God who just does things by heart. She suffered, Poto. Because she knows their numbers. She knows, and the customer says, we were loyal to your company. How come now you are directing us to yourself? We refuse to honor. So they all went back to the same company and she suffered. She invested so much. And I was telling her, you see, you were disloyal. You should have told the truth. You should have followed due process. There, nobody's leg has been chained to any chair here. There is a way you live. There is a way you resign. There is a way you move on. There is a process you must follow. And you must always, always have the blessing of your father. Anytime you are living, have the blessing. Anytime you walk away from your mentor, you walk away from your coach, your father, with bitterness and anger. And see we hear, baby, I will call him. The curse of the lips of your father will work against you. A curse without a cause shall not alight. If you give cause, the curse will alight. I mean, people have left me before. They carried some people away. They went and started some other thing. A wind blew them away. I mean, I was here preaching normal when I heard that a wind. I didn't conjure the wind. I was here preaching when I heard that a wind has carried the tent. A wind has carried so many people. The guy died. His wife left him afterwards. So many stories. And I was telling myself that you can never break scripture. No prophet anywhere can break scripture. You cannot disregard, dishonor, and then another prophet can be prayed for you. Basically, some, it's happening. No, it doesn't work that way. You must follow protocols and due process. Are you listening to me preaching now? Send a baby, see you. Hallelujah. Look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. 1 Samuel 26, 6 to 11. 1 Samuel 26. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God had delivered thy enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? It means you will be guilty. The man was an arch enemy. So God has delivered your enemies to your hand. The guy is lying down. Give me the sword. Let me speak. I will not even do twice. I will do only once. I will strike him to the ground. Even if God delivers your enemy and that your so-called enemy is your mentor or your father or a father figure, do not destroy him. He's the Lord's anointed. Leave him in the hands of God. Look at what David said. He said, look at the next verse. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. In other words, leave your father to God. But you, the son or the daughter, do not kill a father. When they are doing phone in radio station, hey, I saw for my banner. Don't make that call. Don't join anybody to destroy a father figure by the special grace of God. Apostle, by the special grace of God, I don't have one fight like this with anybody that is in ministry in this country. Not one. A mentor over. No. I try to maintain peace with all men. That is why I can invite any of the fathers to this house and will be here to preach. I don't belong to any camp. This is the camp A camp. You know, I don't belong to. I belong to all camps. I belong to all camps. By the grace of God, there is no man of God that I cannot invite to this house because of the honor I give them. I don't join. When you come to me and you want me to join you to do something, I will not be part of it. I know scripture too much. I will not be part of it. I will tell Lord, I'm not interested. One day, a group of asked me, they said, let's go and put him into order. Let's go and put him in order. Let's go and correct. I said, no, I'm not going. They said, Steve, why are you pulling out? You are a very important person. I said, yes, but this is a father. This guy, when he was preaching, I was a student. This man, when he was preaching, am I the one going to correct him? Going to rebuke? I will not join you people. You people can go. So they went. I refused to go. And I thank God I didn't go. Because what has happened to those men who went? What has happened to them? After years, what has happened to them? Let's go and correct the father. Let's go and correct the father. He has lost his position. The father. I will not be part of it. I know scripture. And don't be part of anything that destroys a mentor or a coach or somebody who is a father figure to you. Don't. Honor him. Buy him a parcel. Do something. Bless him. Pray for him. Leave him to the God who called him. Leave him to the God who, because we are all called by God. So your boss was called by God, and the God who called him will deal with him. Am I in church? I've gone somewhere. Later on, Saul died at Mount Gilboa. The Amalekites killed him. And when David heard it, he didn't rejoice. He cried. He wept. He tore his robe. He put ashes on his head and said, "Why are the mighty falling?" He lamented. He didn't rejoice. Now that Saul is dead, some of us, thing for you never lost. Oh my God, the Lord has delivered. No. 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 Thing for you never lost. Yeah. And I love that example. Don't rejoice because a father figure has fallen into sin or something. Don't rejoice at it. Because after they finish dealing with him, you are the next in line. And when your mentor or your coach loses his position, don't take advantage and go and cash in his loss. No. Now that this man is no more, I'm going to collect his customers and then go private. No, 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 no. Mourn with the man who is lost. This was your mentor when you didn't know how to do anything. He was the one who trained you. And now that he is no more, or he hasn't got the ability to carry, now you are taking advantage. Well, I think that the winds have shifted. The winds have shifted. Those of us at the bottom now are rising. We are the new star. Which star? God will cut you off for rejoicing over the fall of a father. This is a man that God himself said, "I have rejected you as king over Israel." So God himself rejected Saul. And when they wanted to kill him, he said, "Hey, don't touch the man I have anointed. Don't touch." Does it mean that these men of God are demigods? No. These men of God are not demigods, but they are vessels that God have used to pioneer his work on earth. And they are men with weaknesses, frailties, and challenges just like you. But God has used, put his treasure in the earthen vessels. Say amen. Yeah. One man of God needed my help to do something. First, they needed the help for something. Everybody was backing up. I said, I'm ready to do it. Ready. What is the help? They said, we want so and so to come to your church so that whatever. I said, I'll do it. Bring her to my church. Bring her. Because she's a mother figure to me. I said, bring her. I'll take her. I honored her for several years. For several years. Say amen. Are you there? And we will know what is in your heart when you are rebuked. Right now, that nothing has happened. You're okay. When they call you, and they now show here. Sit down there. Afterwards, he puts his hand in his pocket. Who the hell does he think he is to talk to me that way, disgracing me in front of my colleagues? Me, I'm thinking my thing. You know, this whole thing. Me, I've been sensing it. One of my pastors in one of the regions. He took my church. He resigned and took my church in some region, not the one here, some other. Then I sent him a text. I said, "For deceiving me and dishonoring me, the wind is against you." That's the text. The wind is against you. The wind. Now I see a call from other bishop. "Reverend, I want to see." I said, "What do you want to see me for?" "Oh, I want to see you on behalf of." Then he mentioned the person. I said, what? He deceived. He came to me and told me that this is what. And he deceived me and took away my church. And I said, "Okay, since I take it away, the wind is against him. Now the wind is blowing against him. Now he's looking for other bishop to come and plead." I said, "Well, I'm here. You can never break scripture. You think that by inviting other men of God, it will nullify what you did. It doesn't work that way. If you dishonor a father and you bring another father to come and endorse your ministry, the original father's curse will work against you. The wind is against you." It's a small text. And I said, "You can keep the text. the wind is against you. For deceiving. You see, come and tell me the truth. Papa, God is leading me to start another work. So these are the measures I've put in place. Bless me and let me go. Me, Reverend Steve Mensah, I will lay my hands on you and bless you. And I will find somebody else to take care of the church. But you deceived me. You told me lies. That, oh, I'm not starting another church. I'm not, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. I mean, I'm leaving the place. I'm going somewhere else. Only for me to hear that we've opened a big church, whatever. My members have left to your church. The same city, the same space where you were with me. And I fly there every time. Me and Apostle were there, lay hands on him, lay hands on the wife, inaugurated, spend money. I spent my own personal money for that branch. And he came and lied to me. And I just sent him a small text for deceiving me and telling me lies. The wind is against you. Small. I didn't say tsunami, storm, whatever. I just said the wind is against you. A father is a father. If a father's blessing can work, then a father's curse also can work. That is why in this house, you will never bless it. We will never bless any marriage here until a father or a mother has consented to your marriage. We will not marry you in rebellion when you don't have your father's blessing. No matter who your father is, whether a drunkard, we have had drunkard fathers carrying their daughters to this altar. You can see that the guy, you know, in Sanuma, I tried the photo. He will insist that you must have your father, and your father must stand here and said, I give my daughter, so and so, whatever, to be married to this one with your father's word, with all my blessings. We want those words to come out of your father, because those words are important to the survival of the marriage. So you can't come to this house, ignore your father, ignore your mother, come and see us. Well, I want to do my wedding and other. I don't need my father, I don't need my mother. It will never work. Then go somewhere else where it will work. Then go to the court and go and sign. They don't need your father there. But here, you have to bring your father or a father figure or an uncle or whatever. And they must sit and they must take the microphone. I do give my daughter so and so to be married to so and so with, and the words must come out, with all my blessings. Yeah. The blessing of a father. Are you learning something this morning? Yeah. That it may be well with thee. With all my blessings. God bless you. I love you.